You are listening to Swimming World Radio, produced in conjunction with the World Championship Sports Network, who is broadcasting video of the 2007 World Championships through their website at WCSN.com. I'm your host, Brent Rutemeller, broadcasting from Melbourne, Australia. Let's listen to the interviews. Tonight we have the pleasure to get in touch with Australia's national team coach, Alan Thompson, who's in Melbourne getting ready for the World Championships. Thanks for joining us, Alan.
Thank you.
Hey, let's talk about the Australia's national swim team. First, the women. What can we look for in the women during the World Championships?
Well, yeah, they're prepared very well, and you know, obviously they're very strong, but they're also aware that that there's a lot of other countries that have moved forward in 2006, and you know, obviously the British team, the Japanese, and the Americans, and the Germans have all moved forward with big steps last year. So our girls have not been frightened by that, but they've taken on that challenge and prepared for this meet. And you know, I think we're looking forward to one of the fastest meets in history.
And how is this on a quadrennium compare the importance of this World Championships as a prelude into the Olympics?
I think when you compare World Championships these days, you really have to compare the World Championships at the beginning of the Olympic cycle with the same one again the next Olympic cycle, and this one with probably 2003 World Championships, to get any sort of comparison, because I think we are seeing that that they are different in the way they're approached by a lot of nations. But most certainly, this Olympic Games being, you know, a little more than 12 months away from the Olympic Games is going to ensure that everybody's here and everybody's prepared to swim really, really fast. And we're fully prepared for this competition, and you know, and I think it's certainly an opportunity to, you know, I think everyone who comes here will be putting their best foot forward and to leave their opposition with certain notice of where they're at for the next 12 months.
Well, without putting any pressure on any one female swimmer from Australia, but is there someone out there that's just ready to turn the corner that you could maybe have our eyes and ears on?
Oh, I think, you know, I think it's about, you know, for some people it's about stepping up and, you know, and making a name for themselves. I think others it's about consolidation of results from last year. And I think for the main players it's about maintaining a presence in the top couple. So I think it's very different for every member of the team. But, you know, no one individual there that you can put a name on. But I think everyone has their own job to do within our team.
And how many women will be representing Australia?
We've got 21 women and 21 men.
Okay. Well, let's turn our attention to the men. How do you think you'll stack up against the world minus an Ian Thorpe this year?
Well, you know, a lot of people have asked me that question, and the reality of it is Ian hasn't swum for us since the Olympics in 2004. So we've been without him for the last 2 years, but I suppose it's more finality about it now that he is really gone, and we're not just waiting for him to come back. So I think the way we've treated over the last 2 years is it's provided opportunities. Last year we didn't have Grant Hackett either, but provided opportunities for young guys to step up and give themselves a chance to be on the national team. And some of those guys have really taken those with both hands, and I think it's this year's a consolidation for them as well, and that they will you know, try and maintain their position and step forward as well. And you know, we really haven't dwelled on that fact. I think you can look at some negatives, but I think we turn it around into a positive and an opportunity.
You know, Coach, when you mention Ian Thorpe, you know, retiring, and then there's young swimmers wanting to step up, you know, our attention immediately turns to Craig Stevens. I mean, it was in 2004 when Ian Falk started. Craig was all lined up to take his spot in the Olympics, and he basically gave it up to Ian to come back and swim. Where's Craig right now?
Yeah, well, Craig made our team and swam very well. He was second behind Grant Hackett in all the 400, 800, and 1500, and he'll be representing us in those events here. And he's also put his hat in the ring for the 4x200 relay as well. So he's got a very full program, and he's swimming very well to the point where he swam personal best in most of his events at the World Championship Trials and got right down to 15.00, which was definitely his best performance at the Trials.
And at what point in time will you make a decision on those relays?
As we get closer to the meet, I think now we're getting very close to the 4x1 relays at the moment, obviously, because they're on the first day and you don't get to see a lot of form before that. We like to have a look at our form in the first couple of events or the first couple of days before we really make some final decisions on those 4x2 relays. So, yeah, it'll be a while yet before that's you know, locked away.
Well, in the United States, the college NCAA championships just concluded. You know, the talk in the States was that those two meets, especially the men's, were the fastest in history. Many of those same athletes will be heading to Australia. Were the swimmers and coaches in Australia following that competition?
Probably the highlights of that. You know, unfortunately for us, yard swimming doesn't make a whole lot of sense to us. It doesn't really give us. We don't really have benchmarks to compare events to. So it's really only the highlights that come to us when someone says it's the fastest final in history, or the young guy who went 1869, you know, and that's the fastest ever swum. So obviously take notice of those. Swims. We take notice of people like Matt Target, who swam very well in the 50 there and the 100 fly. So I think we take notice of some things, but whereas most coaches would normally study most long course events or even 25 metre events, 25 yards, you can look at times and they just don't really correspond to too much for us, unfortunately.
That's a real good point, and here at Swimming World Magazine, as much as we want to call a 50-yard or 100-yard freestyle a record, a world record, we limit the world records to the meter events. But you have to take your hat off to Cesar Cielo in his 50 and his 100 freestyles, and he'll be down there. Do you think that there's an advantage or a disadvantage from coming off of a major meet like this and turning around and refocusing 2 weeks later?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, quite often you often find the results of the second meet are better than the first meet. So, but I think it's a very individual thing. I think some people will find it to be a great advantage for them, and that may lie mainly with the sprinters. The distance swimmers sometimes have a little more trouble with that. But, we have that again with the jewel in the pool just a week later from the start of the World Championships, a couple of days after it finishes. So, we're looking forward to that as well as the second meet, but that may be the third meet for some of the US guys as well. So, I think it's very individual, and for some people, I'm sure who will keep on racing over those three competitions, they'll continue to improve over that.
Well, it should be exciting to watch, and we're all looking forward to getting the competition off the ground, and appreciate the time and your busy schedule, Coach Thompson, to talk with us, and wish you lots of luck.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Well, this is Brent Rutemeller with Swimming World Radio, reporting on swimming from around the world. Ooh, I hate it.